Call this meeting of the Amador County Board of Supervisors to order on this Tuesday, August 23rd, 2022. Board has met in closed session and all the items were covered. Item one, conference with labor negotiators, no report. Item two, and this would be item 2A, Aaron Buchanan versus County of Amador, direction given to staff. Item 2B, Lori Stein versus County of Amador, direction to staff. Item 3A, claim of Christine O'Neill. Motion was to deny the claim. And item 3B, claim of Robert Lopez. The claim was denied by the board. Confidential minutes were approved. With that, if you can stand and join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Go to public matters, not on the agenda. Discussion items only, no action to be taken. Any person may address the board at this time upon any subject within the jurisdiction of the Amador County Board of Supervisors. However, any matter that requires action may be referred to staff and our committee for report and recommendation for possible action at a subsequent board meeting. Is there any public comment at this time? Items not on the agenda. Good morning.
And I'm here to be grateful, humbly grateful that we have this program going on because my dad and my husband and my son depends on it. And I'm really grateful that something's been put on the table, but cost of living has been going up and gas. So just want to thank you for that. And you're going to keep seeing me until the contract's done. Thank you. You have a great day.
Okay. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Let me take my mask off. Like my colleague Lupe said, I represent members of the SEIU Local 2015, and we're here to make sure that folks are aware of the IHSS program, in-home support service program, and we just want to make sure people also understand that investing in this program is investing in the community. The state and the federal government contribute to the counties that pay into IHSS, and that money that people earn is always spent in this community. So it's just a really valid program. And I know sometimes we tend to come off kind of strong, and it's really just with the passion that we feel for the community and the members that we serve and the consumers and recipients that receive the care. It's really a life-saving program. IHSS members have much greater life expectancies than people in nursing homes. Although we appreciate our nursing homes too, but the more that we're able to care for people at home, I'm sure if any of us are in need, that we want to be cared for in our homes if possible. We want to stay in our homes and be as independent as we can and have that freedom for as long as we can. And that's what this program does. So besides the wonderful care that people receive in their homes when there's an IHSS program that's thriving, of course, that depends on having caregivers, and caregivers need to support themselves and their families. And when they earn money in this community, they spend that money in this community. So you sell tires at a tire store, you're going to benefit because there's IHSS and those members are able to do those things and buy their shoes and groceries and clothes. And so I just can't express enough how important this program is. And, you know, we're currently in negotiations, and that's, you know, I think we should be here throughout the years. But, of course, we tend to show up a lot stronger when we are in negotiations, and I just want to make sure that it's on your radar, and I know that it is, and I appreciate each and every one of you for, you know, when proposals go back and forth. I don't know to the extent you see them, but just really want to hope that you have it in your hearts to really understand that it's just a vital service, and I couldn't be more proud than to represent the people that do this work. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Adriana Jensen. Your faces are becoming quite familiar. Jeff Brown, you are my representative, so I'm pretty familiar with you, and thank you for the work that you do in District 3. I appreciate that. So I moved up here, actually, with my mother with the intent of taking care of her. We both had a house in Citrus Heights, and Mom was getting to the point where she was still independent but needed more care. So we found this beautiful property up in Pioneer. It's got two houses on it. I guess technically hers is an accessory dwelling unit, but it's perfect for her, right? And so my mom gets her independence, and then I'm right next door, so whenever she needs anything, I'm available. I can run over there. If she needs to go to ER, I'm right there. And so I just appreciate having this program in Amador. And I appreciate your consideration and helping us to continue with our lives so that I can take care of my mom the way that she needs. So thank you all, and I hope you have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, my name is Zachary Jones. I want to, first of all, put it out that this program is amazing. I've been doing it for about 3 years now, give or take. And when I first moved out here, my mom had brain surgery. I had no idea about the program. And had I known about this program and how important it is, not just for the client, but the experience that we get with just daily lives, you know, knowing what to do in case of emergency situations, it helps us to develop more skill sets for immediate family. The biggest thing that I have noticed coming to these meetings is the financial issues. That's not really what I'm going to cover today, but I wasn't here at the last meeting. I apologize. I was feeling sick. But I really want to thank you guys for even having this program. It's been an eye-opener for me. I've been able to work with veterans that I was able to save their life in many different situations. And some of that skill set, like I said, I'm going to be able to take with me forever, whether we expand, which I know we will at some point. It's just about right marketing and everything and getting our message out there. But I just, again, my thing here is not to debate with you guys, just to thank you guys for even allowing us to have this program and helping people that we're building connections with, and that's helping us network and expand, and more people should know about it and what exactly we do. So wanted to thank you guys again, and thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning.
My name is Vicky Escalante. I've spoke with you before, but on this level, we would like to thank you for trying to come together on some kind of agreement. Our workers are important. They're essential workers. We do work of nurses and, you know, and keep them out of the hospitals and the different agencies. I'm going to take this off, sorry. And keep them out of the skilled nursing facilities. Like they were saying earlier, they live a lot longer in their own home because of the fact that we are giving them love and attention. And they're not always family members. A lot of them are, you know, we've never met them before. I'm taking care of a lady that's blind. And she, if, without being someone coming into her home to cook for her and care for her, take her to her little outings to the store or whatever, she would not be able to thrive by herself. She would have to be in some kind of a facility. And it's just, and she's not really medically ill, but it's the fact that she had to have both of her eyeballs removed. And it's just really sad for me to see her sometimes. And I've grown to a connection with her after taking care of my mom for 15 years and keeping her out of the program. And I thank you for keeping the program going. And think of our needs, too, as far as, like they were saying, about the gas and the food and all that. Everything is going up. Our economy is changing. Everything is higher. And especially in this area where everything has to be trucked in, the groceries, everything is higher. So if you can keep that in consideration, we would love it. And we thank you for all the negotiations that you are doing with us. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Ty Polskamp, and I'm a resident of the city of Jackson here. In small towns, we all wear many hats, and today I'm wearing a hat that maybe you've not seen me wear. The Out for Mental Health Amador County Project supports local LGBT community members and service organizations and providers by engaging in LGBT mental health advocacy at the county, state, and federal level. I'm a little winded. I am still working my way back from COVID in late May, but I apologize. In 2019, a community member from the Statewide Health and Human Services Network reached out to me and said Amador County is on the radar for this Out for Mental Health grant. We had a great conversation that fall on the phone. I told him about the work that I'm doing here locally. I facilitate a youth group for youth ages 12 to 18 that supports youth who are exploring their identity and figuring out how to come to terms with the reality of being LGBT in a rural community. As well as that youth group, we facilitate bi-monthly potlucks, of course, for much of the last 2 years that was on hold. And we have offered a safe space art show, bless you, for the last 4 years. This year it expanded to Calaveras and Tuolumne, featuring local, rural LGBT artists and experiences conveyed through art over the three-county span. The public behavioral health system functions under stipulations laid out by the Mental Health Services Act, which we're probably all most familiar with. As California voters, we voted this into law in 2004. The one function of the Mental Health Services Act is a community planning process, and per state legislation and regulations, that community planning process must include participation from representatives of underserved populations. Funding opportunities like the Out for Mental Health grant help marginalized communities participate in the Mental Health Services Act community planning process to ensure that LGBTQ+ residents of Amador County are provided equitable mental health and public health services. I think over the last couple of years, we have all come to see how crucial community engagement is to our mental health. It feels good to be able to leave the house, feel comfortable doing so, engage in civil service, and participate in community activities and local government. COVID, of course, put a damper on that. For folks who are afraid based on experiences they've had, maybe being refused care or having had adverse childhood experiences, being LGBT does complicate access to mental health services. I will share one statistic with you. I do have a page I'd like to submit to your clerk, and I assume like that digitally then goes to you folks instead of everyone getting a piece of paper. And then Jenny here, another member of the Out for Mental Health Project, will introduce themselves. In 2019, the California Health and Human Services Network surveyed 2,875 participants here in the state of California regarding their mental health and the experiences accessing mental health services. There's a great deal of compelling data from that survey, but this stood out to me, and I wanted to share it with you folks. I know your concerns are weighed heavily on how you make decisions in this area, on who your constituents are and what our lives are, because we are not maybe the same. Maybe we are more diverse than this board. So data collected in that survey indicates that while 69% of LGBT youth in urban areas have seriously considered ending their own lives, 80%, 80, of rural LGBT youth, their peers, report similar thoughts on suicide. So the Out for Mental Health Project aims to offer families and providers resources on how to support LGBTQ youth, adults, and seniors in living full and healthy lives. We are completing the first year of the grant cycle at the end of September, and the grant is fiscally managed by the Amador County Arts Council. I am the board president of the Tri-County LGBT Alliance. I do have a pen here. I notice you don't have one, so I'll go ahead and fill my name out really quick.
Now, I don't want to cut you short. You haven't used too much time yet, but, I mean, if you'd like to come back and make a larger presentation, just be sure to ask our board clerk.
We would. Thank you. Sorry, I appreciate that, Supervisor Forrester. So this project kind of requires us to engage in the process. Mm-hmm. And so in this first year where we were required to attend 6 public meetings and just kind of introduce, break the ice, if you will. And so we're finishing that up before September, and then you'll be hearing from us in the fall. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hello. Thank you for few minutes of your time. My name is Jenny McVeigh, and I'm a transgender woman. And I am, I've been moved here in 3 years ago from Fremont. I made my transition in the Bay Area, and I think it was very easy compared to what I hear up in this county and the other rural counties for mental health. And because of the need for mental health, not only for us, but everybody else. This young man that decided to hurt many others instead of himself. I think that next to the fire people that saved my home recently up on Canyon View, I think the next most important thing might be mental health for everyone. Everyone should have it. It should be free. They should be able to go. No matter how old they are, how 2-year-old can get some evaluation, and find out why these young people are so angry and why they have a problem with the get. And I can feel that because I had that. I'm 73, so my time and I've always been this way. I always know I was different from at the time I was 2-3 years old, and 8, and from 8 to 15, it was a horrible time. And there wasn't anyone to go to at that time. And I managed to work my way out of it myself. I went in the Marine Corps from 1970-74. I was in Vietnam. I was part of ordnance, aviation ordnance. I've had a lot of experiences. I hope that you'll consider step forward if there's anything you can do for mental health in any way, shape, or form. And, of course, I'm pushing for my community because I think it's most important. But it goes with everything, every single person in this room, every family member, everybody. How you feel after you have a fire at your home, what it felt like leaving. Hopefully I got back and it was still there. Mental health is important. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other public comment? Items not on the agenda. Morning, Mr. Assessor and Deputy Assessor.
Hello, Jim Rooney, County Assessor with Jeff Himmelman, Assistant Assessor, Deputy Assessor. We just wanted to come before you and let you know we finished turning over the assessment roll. And there's some interesting information that we thought you'd be, that you would want to see. And Jeff's going to hand out that information to each of you. And you can't look at it until I start talking about it. Actually, I just wanted to tell you, the bottom line is, last year, the assessment roll went up just a little bit more than 7% from the prior year. And by the way, we've presented this information. We're presenting it to all the cities, water agency, and to whoever would actually, we thought would be interested in it. Anyway, on the second page, the kind of the bottom right portion under county, the county went up 7.1% last year. And it's we put percentages right alongside. It kind of gives you an idea of trends. It also shows that in 2008, things started going down. The assessments went down for four straight years. And in 2012, that hit the bottom. And from 2012, they started going up. But in 2007, that was the highest assessments had ever been. And then for 4 years, they started going down. And from that point, they started going back up again. And that you see the very, almost the bottom right percentage, it says 30.6%. In 2022, that's the amount that it is up over the year 2007. So in 15 years, assessments are up 30% because we had those down years. It doesn't take much math to show, that essentially shows about a 2% increase a year. That's just to give you an idea of what assessed values are doing. And
that 2% is roughly cost of, you know, cost of living increase, right?
Well, that's the 2% is generally what Prop 13 allows assessments to go up.
Oh, okay.
So every year.
So it's really governed by that.
Yeah, unless there's new construction or there's a change of ownership. Okay. Now, if you turn to that front page, the very the second of the bottom row, it says from 2008 to 2012, but right above there is 2022. Last year, each city, I have it split out. Ione went up the most. Ione went up a little more than 15%, and I think we all kind of know why. There's a lot of new homes in Ione. Values are going up. Home sales are showing increases. Sutter Creek went up just about the same as the county average, about 7.1%. And Sutter Creek has actually been the most stable area in the county. When the values were going down, they didn't go down as fast. When values were going up, they didn't go back up as fast either. Jackson is showing about a 6% increase. Plymouth has been showing very big increases the past 5 years, but this last year it was only up a little more than 5%. But in previous years, you can see they had 20%, 19%, 9%, and 11%. So that was a little bit of a slowdown. I think that had to do with that new subdivision, Zinfandel Ridge, I guess, growing out. And then Amador City was up about 5%. The unincorporated area, about 6%, 6.25. On the last page, I wanted you to look at that. Before you do that, I just wanted to show you. Ione right now, Jackson is the highest assessed jurisdiction in the county, with $632 million of assessment. And Ione is pretty close behind it at 625. So Ione and Jackson are the biggest, they have the largest assessments. And Ione is, that's kind of the growing area. The last page, it shows residences in the county. There's primary residences and then total. Primary are just essentially people who say, this is our primary residence. We want that little tax break. And it shows what each town has. And I'm going to focus on the total. Amador City has 95 homes. Ione has 1,821. Jackson, 1,500. Plymouth, about 364. Sutter Creek, 966. And then in the unincorporated area, that's where the big total is, a little over 10,000. But anyway, that also gives you an idea of where homes are, where assessed values are. And also, I think this kind of can give you an idea of trends of what assessed values are doing. And hopefully, if you ever, you might want to consider some of this stuff in your budget dealings. I mean, and I spoke with Chuck about this. Actually, I speak with Chuck every year about it a lot. And anyway, so that's just kind of information about what assessments are doing, what they've done, and a reminder that the real estate market is cyclical. Just when you start thinking it's never going to go down again, it can. And just when you're thinking, boy, it can't get any lower, then it goes up. So anyway, it's a cyclical market that makes adjustments. And if anybody has any questions, Jeff and I can answer them. Or
I guess there's continual discussion sometimes at our state legislature of trying to do away with Prop 13. If that happens, I think that would significantly affect your home ownership, wouldn't it?
Oh, an awful lot. Prop 13, it is it really protects the elderly who can depend on an assessed value with a property tax bill that will be within 2% of what it was last year. It doesn't allow it to go up too fast. If we lost Prop 13, there would be a number of people who have been living in their homes a long time who would have their property tax bills probably go up 400% without Prop 13. Prop 13 really protects the elderly. I do want to tell you that since 1980, in 1980, I was keeping these statistics. There are these three numbers that are very important to know. And the three numbers are, from 1980 to 2020, the population in the state of California went up about 53%. The inflation rate went up about 220%. And revenues from property taxes in the state during that same time period went up over 900%. Which shows we don't... Property tax revenues have far outpaced population and inflation. Kind of indicates we don't so much with the state have a revenue problem. They have more of a spending problem.
And that was kind of my point in bringing up Prop 13, is that property values are going up enough right now. We don't need to do something to cause people to get into a situation where they're going to lose their homes.
No, Prop 13, it really provides stability to revenues and stability to homeowners, too. So,
any other questions?
Noticing those are some pretty interesting numbers that you gave as far as like the property tax, 900%. I think there's something to that. It's I'm not against government per se, but you give government more money, they will spend it. That's just how it is.
Yeah.
I think also part of it is if you look at what we've done regulatory wise, oh my gosh, it's run cost up for everything out of sight. Jim, also, isn't there like a Prop 19 that was recently passed?
Yeah, Prop 19, personally, I think it was a disaster. It no longer allows people in California to transfer property to their children or to their parents without being reassessed. You can do it if it's a primary residence, but if it's another piece of property you own, it is now going to be reassessed, even though it was kept in the immediate family. There are good portions of Prop 13 which allow people to move, if you're over the age of 55, to a new residence and keep your old tax base. But Jeff is working with Prop 19 a little bit more than I am. Oh, it's hard to administer. And we're trying to keep the records to get reimbursed by the state because it is allowing people to move in here who've just sold a $1 million house, buy a house worth a third the value, keep their old property tax value while they have a $700,000 gain. And that's not particularly fair, but it is what it is, and we're dealing with it. So Prop 19, personally, I think it's a mess, but it's the law.
Okay, we better keep moving. Any other questions? All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
Any other public comment?
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry. I'll do it last.
Yes. Yes, sir. Come on up.
Very brief. I'm part of an abatement hearing that was going on before.
Your name again, sir?
My name is Scott Espen. I live in Fiddletown.
Thank you.
I have until September 12th to finalize my unpermitted garage that I've been living in. I've got a medical condition that's happened in the meantime, and I have a letter here from my doctor saying that I shouldn't be working until they've completed the investigations.
I think that probably needs to go to code enforcement, correct? to be brought back to the board?
Mr. Espin, I would recommend you provide that to Michelle, and then Michelle can share with the board. It's not on the agenda today for them to do anything, that's the best way to get it to them. But thanks for the
update. All right.
Michelle, code enforcement.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other public comment?
Mr. Chairman, I wanted to introduce our new public health director. Do you want to go on up to the board? Just quickly introduce her to you and to the public. Joanne Hassan started last week and is taking over as public health director. And anything you would like to say?
Morning.
Good morning. Thank you for the welcome, and I look forward to partnering with the rest of the community agencies that we've been working with and kind of look at maybe some growth in public health to better serve our community. Just in case you don't know, public health, I think we have 28 or 25 programs that we serve the community. So I look forward to working with you all. If you have any questions, you know where I live. And thank you for the time.
Know where you work.
yeah, you know where I work, which is probably kind of living there. You know?
Yeah. All right, thank you. Any other public comment? Then we'll move on to our regular agenda. We do have some changes. We have two addendums today. Addendum 1 will be 5G. Addendum 2 will be 5H. I'm going to adjust that to cover addendum 5G first on our agenda to accommodate Dr. Kerr. Item 5H will follow the minutes today. So with that, can I have approval of the agenda?
Those changes, move to approve, Mr. Chair.
Second.
Moved and second to approve the agenda as modified. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. I'll go on to the consent agenda. Item 6F, I need to recuse myself because my son-in-law, who's an engineer, is employed at Quincy Engineering. So we'll cover all of the consent agenda right now except 6F. So can I get a motion to that effect?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second to approve the consent agenda absent 6F. All those in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
Motion to approve.
I'll pass the gavel to Supervisor Brown.
Mr. Vice Chair, motion to approve item 6F.
Second.
Okay. First and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Maybe we should have made them wait a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Even get out.
I don't know. It's going to take them longer to go to the door than it was.
That's right. Yeah. Thank you, board members.
Next time, just cover your ears. Close your eyes.
Yeah, I assume that did pass.
Yes.
So that was 401, right? Correct?
Yep. Yes.
All right. With that, we'll move on to our regular agenda. Item 5G, addendum number 1, public health, discussion of possible action relative to a budget increase in the amount of $221,813 and approval to hire full-time limited-term staff as it relates to the workforce development grant. Good morning.
Good morning, Chairman Forster, Supervisors.
Good morning.
Dr. Kerr from Public Health. Haven't been here in person for a while.
Yeah.
And I appreciate your consideration with putting this early so that we can get back to support the vaccine clinic that's going on this morning. And here alongside Joanne, who's our new Public Health Director. You just met her. So we're bringing this forward because Public Health, as you know, during COVID, was stretched pretty thin and really has had to rely on quite a few outside resources to do the work of COVID response in addition to maintaining the many programs, some of which had to be put on pause for a while, but we're trying to get back into because we still have work plans to fulfill and report on for those work plans for the various other programs that we run and administrate. Beyond the first couple rounds of COVID funding, just about a year ago, a workforce development grant short term, which is basically a pass-through from federal grant money, was allocated to Amador County Public Health and accepted. And we've just recently started billing limited term staff time out of that grant when a specific COVID funding stream ran out. We have another fiscal year on this grant, and the total amount of the grant allocation for the short-term grant is $497,322. So we actually have more work to do on this grant. And the key thing I want to let you know is that this is really kind of seed money or an on-ramp, because the state in this fiscal year budget passed an allocation of ongoing funding and the allocation to Amador for the ongoing funding will be $487,482. This funding is for developing, reconstituting the public health workforce, which really took a hit during that 2008 recession that Jim Rooney was just talking about. Public health went from having 8 nurses down to 2. And many other program staff, over time, attrition happened, and really a skeleton crew was left. And when something like a public health emergency happens, we've had to rely on state teams for testing, treatment, vaccinations, and several other aspects of our public health response. This money these are not competitive grants. These are allocations of funding. And we will be asked to submit both a staffing plan and a work plan with state-prescribed guardrails of what the expectation is. This tends to be less categorical than many of the public health funding streams, which have to work on a specific program like lead poisoning prevention, oral health, or tobacco reduction. These are more overarching types of funds. So we will be coming back to the board within the next month or so with a more detailed staffing plan and vision for public health under our new director. But I'd like direction from you today. Number one, I'd ask that you approve the budget increase so that we can start to do this work and appropriately bill the staff that's been working in this capacity since this funding was allocated to us to start the planning process. Now that Joanne is with us, we need to keep this going. And we actually need to acknowledge the allocation letter for the ongoing funding stream. So I would request, in addition to what you have in front of you on the agenda, just direction to staff that we may acknowledge the allocation and that we intend to use it, and then we will come to admin committee and the board with a specific proposal for how we're going to use it. And of course, the state's going to get our much more detailed work plans. Do you have any specific questions?
Can you clarify the budget increase today is $221,813, yes. But you mentioned the state is the initial amount was a $497,000 and some change?
Some of that was already paid to us in the last fiscal year and accounted for in last fiscal year's budget.
Okay.
Bringing you today is what we've already figured out we need for this year. What I expect for the remainder of that short-term grant will likely be contracted services for some of the deliverables that we need. The couple of possibilities we're considering for that contract would be either a community needs assessment, which is one of the deliverables we need to accept the ongoing funding, and or the work that we really need to get going on our after action for the COVID emergency.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Other questions?
No.
Any public comments? Then can
Mr.
I get a motion?
Chair, I'll make a motion then to approve the budget increase in the amount of $221,813. For the full-time, hire full-time limited-term staff and give direction to staff to acknowledge the allocation and how it will be used. Is that what you need?
Yes. May I make one clarifying point before you vote, which mm-hmm. is that the ongoing funding specifically requires that 70%, 70, be spent on recruitment, hiring, onboarding, training, and retention of permanent staff.
Okay,
this is intended to be ongoing funding.
That goes under how it's going to be used?
Yes.
Okay. Sounds
second.
Good.
making some notes. Actually, it sounds like the state came up with a pretty good plan on that for a change. So
we like it. It was a lot of work to get there.
There were requirements, though.
So. Of course.
Good. All right. Any final comments? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to go to back to our regular agenda 5A, resolution proclaiming August 2022 as Child Support Awareness Month in Amador County. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Board. My name is Julie Prado. I'm the director of the Central Sierra Child Support Agency. Good morning. I am here to ask your board to proclaim August as Child Support Awareness Month in the County of Amador. Central Sierra Child Support Agency is Amador County's Child Support Department of Child Support Services. Although we do work under the umbrella of a JPA, we deliver services for Amador, Calaveras, Tuolumne, and Alpine. We are located just down the street here on New York Ranch Road. We have just 26 and a half employees, and we collect over $12 million in child support each year. One of our desires in being here today is to bring more awareness to our program and to ensure that our community here understands that we're here to serve them. We have capacity to do more. We deliver services both in paternity establishment. We go with families to court. We create the paperwork that needs to go to court to establish child support orders. We collect that money. We also establish medical orders and keep track of interest when that's applicable. All of our services are free, and we really feel that there are more families within our communities that need our services, and we're looking to be that agency that helps bridge the gap for families and help families get to where they need to be in our community. I'm very proud of my organization and our team, and I'm very grateful for the leadership. Supervisor Brown, Supervisor Axe both serve on our board of directors and have been integral in our growth in the last several years. And so my desire today is just to ask you to create this proclamation in the County of Amador.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and read the resolution, and then I'll come around and present it to you.
Thank you.
All right. From the Board of Supervisors of the County of Amador, resolution proclaiming August 2022 as Child Support Awareness Month in Amador County. Whereas the vision of the Central Sierra Child Support Agency is partnering with families to create self-sufficiency, and whereas the professional staff of the Central Sierra Child Support Agency work diligently to fulfill this vision by partnering with families involved in more than 5,100 cases, and collecting over $11 million in support last federal fiscal year. And whereas the Central Sierra Child Support Agency declares its commitment to having a meaningful impact on the families it serves, and whereas the Central Sierra Child Support Agency is engaged in educating its customers regarding their cases and the community regarding the services it provides, and whereas the Central Sierra Child Support Agency affirms the important role it plays in partnering with parents to support the well-being of children, and whereas the Central Sierra Child Support Agency encourages parents to be accountable for their children, providing them many opportunities to succeed, and whereas Child Support Awareness Month recognizes and acknowledges parents who work diligently to support their children to provide both emotional and stable financial stability, thus having a positive impact on their children. And whereas the Central Sierra Child Support Agency thanks its partner agencies and recognizes its child support professionals who strive to continuously improve their customer service and make a difference in the lives of the children and our community. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Supervisors applauds the Central Sierra Child Support Agency for its continued service to the families throughout our community. It is further proclaimed and ordered that the month of August 2022 shall hereby be designated as Child Support Awareness Month as approved by the Board of Supervisors.
Do you want to make a motion on that first?
Go ahead, Supervisor. Thank you.
Yeah, make a motion passing the resolution supporting August 2022 is Child Support Awareness Month in Amador County.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I should have asked, is there any public comment?
Thanks, Julie.
Getting your exercise this morning.
Yeah. I'm going to have to check some messages here real fast on our next agenda item. Okay. Mr. Merzlach is not here, and we're trying to find out why, so we're going to bypass item 5B at this time and go on to item 5C, discussion of possible action relative to a request for funding to assist in maintenance and general upkeep of the softball fields at Howard Park. And good morning, sir. You are Mr. Baker?
I am Mr. Derek Baker. Good morning, supervisors.
Morning.
Thank
morning.
You for having me here. So I'm going to start out. That is some of my reason of being here. I just kind of wanted to give an update where we are. I've been spending a lot of my time. Again, so I'll start out. My name is Derek Baker. I've lived in the city of Ione for almost 16 years now. I have two daughters, now 15 and 11. Both have been in all of the sports that we have here in Amador County. We love this place. We love the small rural feel and everything that's able to go down within our local parks. Something that kind of came up in the last few years is the lack of softball fields for our young ladies to be able to play in, and even some of our adults that love to play the game that just don't have a softball area to play. For the last, 12 years that my daughter's been involved with this, we've had to drive all the way up to St. Saba, which isn't a bad thing, just to go play softball. St. Saba is a privately owned organization church here, just across the street, and they charge our organization almost $5,000 a year, and the fields and the condition that we have for these young ladies to play in are terrible at best. There's insane gopher holes. The grass has never been green until this year. And if you look around the county, baseball's been supported extremely well. We have five really nice fields there at Howard Park in Amador County, or in Ione. We've got Dieter Park, which is a beautiful field up here. I don't really know how the organization for baseball goes, and it's broken up to an east and west, and I don't really understand because I've never been in the baseball world, but they've got a lot of stuff to utilize. Maybe they do need more fields. That's not my part. What I'm here to is just to tell everybody in Amador County that there is a fight going on to bring softball fields to the city of Ione. St. Saba, who has been grateful and allowed us to use their fields, wants to better and make their summer retreat organization larger, which is going to take over our softball fields. I'm in extremely great standings with Steven right now, who's the new operator of St. Saba Church. And last year we were only given a one-year lease. I don't know at this point in time right now, because he's trying to build and develop, I don't even know if I have softball fields for these young ladies of the whole entire county for this next season right now. So that's the reality where we're at. The city of Ione is very aware. Since this was brought to my attention a year ago, I've since taken over the whole Amador County Girls Softball League. I am now the president. I've been involved as the field supervisor manager for the last 8 years. Basically just the guy in the back that shows up every Friday, puts in 8 hours, 6 hours of work, mowing, weed eating, spraying. Total behind the scenes, that's what I like to do until I just finally got so fed up that these girls are given nothing in this community. So that led me to go into the city of Ione. They were so awesome and totally listened to my want and desire for new fields. Stacy, who was the mayor at the time, did grant access with the whole county board, or city board, excuse me. Everybody was okay with it. Parks and Rec loved the idea. It's going through to the master plans. I do have a signed copy, which I believe I did attach to my request, that did show the city of Ione granting a five-year time frame to allow me to use the south end of Howard Park. So the north end would be your baseball fields. Center is all of our soccer area. And then the southern end, which is still with inside the historical racetrack, which we will not touch, which is a big deal, I guess. So I don't know why, but we will stay within those grounds. And we're able to get three softball fields, which is what we currently use for our little mitts. And we have a junior, we have little mitts, coach pitch, juniors, and seniors. There's almost 220 girls annually that are out there for our softball, going from the ages of 4 to about 15, so right before they go into high school. Again, if we lose these things, this is going to cause great headaches for baseball and for everybody, because I can guarantee the first thing that I'm coming out for is those baseball fields to be shared equally with my girls. I never want that to happen. I applaud the baseball program for being able to do and build what they have. Fortunately for them, they did this back in the mid-80s when you didn't have to get all the permitting and spend eight times the amount to build a softball field or baseball field. So they were able to use the community and build that. I, the same way, have an amazing amount of help and resources from the city of Ione and the Ione community and Amador County community, not only from funding, but from $100,000 of tractor work donated to be able to flatten out this area. So we've got the things to do it. We're tied by funding and the ability to I've been told that we have to go through and do this because the county owns it, or the city owns it. We have to go through and everything has to go out to bid, and I'm not going to be able to utilize the aid from the community to build this, which just made the cost undoable, basically. So right now, my biggest battle is we've got the land. We've got a ton of people that want to put in the funding and stuff. We're getting ready to do a huge fundraiser coming up in October. We're looking to raise over 20 grand. And this is coming from an organization that has almost nothing. Okay, we literally are a nonprofit, but we operate as little of dues as we can to minimize the impact on these young ladies and families to be able to come and play a great sport that's going to keep them from hopefully pregnancy, from drugs, from just doing bad things. We don't have a lot of things for our young ladies to do in this community. We've got baseball, we've got basketball, we've got a lot of other sports, but until you get into seventh grade, there's nothing really for these young ladies to do. We don't do volleyball. We don't do we do have soccer. That's about it. We don't have anything else to keep these girls occupied and keep their minds going. So right now we're getting ready to do a big dinner. We've already got it set up for Evelyn Bishop Hall. It's going to be about a 300 to 350 person barbecue dinner. We've got a ton of donations coming in right now. But basically what we're trying to do is, because there is no money and no one wants to put the effort towards this, which is why I'm trying to raise some awareness, I'm going out of my way, and the organization, Amador County Girls Softball Association, is putting on this dinner to give $20,000 to $30,000 to the city of Ione so we can get this ball rolling. Do you know how much $20,000 or $30,000 would do to my organization? I could outfit the whole entire league with some of the best gear, some of the best outfits, everything. I could buy shoes for the whole entire league if I could utilize that money for the league versus putting this money into the city to be able to start doing some of the feasibility study surveys and the planning and specification studies that have to get done to move this through. We have motioned that it's the Howard Park Master Plan is being updated. The softball fields by Parks and Rec have been okayed. There was original talks 10 years ago when they did an update on the Parks and Rec or Howard Park Master Plan. There was some talk about softball fields being on there. So the county's been kind of going through old paperwork, seeing where that was. This has just been something that's completely fallen off the table. The city, community, county, the whole area has been just, in my mind, let things go and allowed this to be subpar for these young ladies. There is an act, and this is no way that I want to go, but it's called AB 204, and it's called the Fair Play Sports Act. And it's basically just like your high school SB 12. Basically, what it states is that you have to put equal amount of funding and effort into girls' sports as you do boys. You have 6-7 really nice baseball fields for boys, and you have 0 in the county for girls. That doesn't really look good for anybody in this county. For me, having 2 girls and loving the sport, it's taken me to a whole new level. For me, having an 11, 15-year-old girl, my kids aren't ever going to play on these fields. So my battle right now is to help the future of our county, to bring softball up to the level that it should be. There's a lot of girls that love this sport, and it could go and be huge. We could be giving more scholarships, as we already get some out of this little county, and we have very little resources for these girls to be able to utilize. So that's part one. I just wanted to give the update. The city of Ione is very much, this is on their radar. I wanted to make sure that the supervisors and the county at the county level understood my battle and what we're going through. Please do understand that St. Sava is trying to expand, and they very well could tell us this year that I don't have softball fields for them. So what is a community? What is a county? What are we going to do if that comes up? If you have boys and you don't have girls, well, guess what? Your boys and your practice hours are going to really suck this year because you're going to be sharing with the females and of this whole entire community. And that's another 200 girls trying to find places to practice, to better their skills, to build the skills of team camaraderie, and have that available for all of them. So the second part to that is, why is our county not taking care of Howard Park as a county park? Why is this a Ione city issue and not a whole community, whole county issue? If all of soccer, the whole entire county plays soccer there, I can't speak for baseball, but I know a very large portion of baseball, which is the West League, plays there. If I bring softball, which it's well in the works and I'm not going to give up till it is there, that's going to be the whole entire community. So how do we develop that this starts getting funded, starts getting looked at as something that the whole entire community of Amador County needs to really care about versus the city of Ione, and make that only the city of Ione's issue? So that's where I am. Again, this isn't something that I'm even going to truly come out and benefit from for my kids to have somewhere closer to play. Maybe my grandkids at this point in time in my life, because I know how things work, and we're already on a whole year past since I've brought this up to the original, to the city of Ione. So I do want to thank the city of Ione. They've welcomed us. They think the idea is great. We just need the ball to keep going, and we need to figure out how we're going to get these built, not how we can put more roadblocks in the way of us getting these things built. One last quick thing is I have spoke with the CEO of Jackson Valley Rancheria, Crystal Jacks, and she is very much on board with the whole program. This is her exact words, though. She's on board, but she is not going to fund this whole entire program. The city needs to step up. The county needs to step up. They want to be a very big part of it, but they are not going to take this on their own. So she wants us to move forward, and that's what she asked, is if we could, as an organization, move forward and start getting these feasibility studies, show that as an organization, we're willing to go out and we're gonna fight. We're going to advertise. We're going to put stuff in the newspaper. We're going to throw fundraisers. We're going to do breakfasts. We're going to raise everything that we can to support our league, but we're going to try to support the community building this and whatever we can bring to it, which I think if we can bring 20 grand to something that the city can finish up, I think that's a huge donation from our little organization to help build this and get things going. So, again, thank you again for your time, and I hope this – yeah, sorry, question.
I think when you said the name, I think you meant Jackson Rancheria, correct?
Sorry, what did I say?
Jackson Valley Rancheria.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, Jackson. Yeah. Sorry. My bad. Sorry.
Anyway, there are several pots of money. There's development fees that are collected by the city of Ione, and then there's the county development fees. So there is a District 2 pot of development money out there. We could look at that and see how much money is in there right now. That's supposed to go where the biggest number of houses are being built, which at this time, according to our assessor's earlier report, that is Ione.
Correct.
So there's probably a pretty good pot of money there that we could get in touch with you and let you know what exists there. I'm sure I would be willing to participate in fundraising. The other board members, I mean, this is a regional effort. Howard Park is a regional park, and there are pots of money out there. But ACRA is another.
Yeah, have you spoken with ACRA at all?
Yeah, for what I felt of it is me speaking to somebody that was more interested in moving something to Jackson, not into the city of Ione. So I think the idea was interesting.
Well, there are impact fee funds that are specific for Howard Park.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
So when I spoke with Justin, I have spoke with him a couple times, and I even started this with I don't have the gal's name, that was before Justin came on board about a year and a half ago.
Carolyn.
Yeah, with ACRA. And again, they were very interested. I just didn't feel as if the support to have it in Ione was really there, because I contacted them, and that was about the end of any talks or discussions about that. So I don't 100% know their which way or like or dislike or any of that. So,
well, I think ACRA is kind of the gatekeeper to a certain extent for some of those regional park fees.
There's two park fees, so we need to be careful on that. Because one of them, the board still takes care of, and the other one is the new nexus.
Right, but it has to be initiated through them, and then it comes to the board for...
Correct.
Now, Derek, I'll check on that District 2 fee that's collected and see how much money is there.
Okay.
So that could be a potential pot of money. I'd be willing to contribute some of this from my discretionary fund. We don't have a lot of money there, but it's there is some money. So, any other board comments?
Yeah, you know, like Richard, I think it's something I'd look at. Gives him discretionary money too. You know, one thing also comes to mind when the Jackson Rancheria did a lot of work on Dieter Park in Jackson. I think they worked with the city to get it done on a private type basis, partnership almost. And it's something you might want to look at in Ione. I think there was some concern over funding and how it was used on a public project, but they kind of came to a meeting of minds and got it done.
Okay.
And we can talk about that later sometime if you'd like, but it might be a way to lower your cost a lot.
That would be great.
Do you have a phone number?
Yeah, it's 916-715-0184.
0184?
That is correct. And the name is Derek Baker. Also, we can be, I have a direct email right through the Amador County Girls Softball Association as well.
Yeah, because I guess a softball field is a little bit different dimensions than a baseball field.
It is. So they skin the infield, meaning it's more dirt for baseball versus softball. Because the baselines are different. So it's like, I think it's 60 in softball and it's 90 in baseball. The good thing, though, is adult league slow pitch is also a longer base path. So if when we do get the okay to build these are going to be fields that are going to be multi-use. So each individual field is going to be able to accommodate your adult league softball, fast pitch, slow pitch, because they do have different dimensions. In the case that there was some overflowing baseball need, the fields would be skinned far enough, probably on one of them for sure, to be able to utilize that for a baseball field if needed. They do make a lot of portable mounds. That's not something I really want to do, but the possibility is there because we want to be able to make this used or be able to be used for everybody within the county. Softball, Amador County Girls Softball being number one. And then if we're not utilizing it, then, yeah, it would be great for the rest of the community to be able to utilize this in other fashions as well.
All right. Any other questions? Any public comments? All right, Mr. Baker, thank you very much.
Thank you all.
All right.
I have text and got a message from Mr. Merzlach. He's working in Valley Springs. He's on his way here, so if we could just delay that item.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can do that.
Right. We'll just continue on with the agenda. So, item 5D, discussion of possible action relative to request for assistance in the replacement of the Taboo Road Firehouse Road in the amount of $12,630. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm Terry Yakish, and I'm the chairwoman for the Pine Acres Community Service District. And hopefully you've all been able to read the letter that is from Pine Acres in regards to the previous funds that were used to take all the mold out of the building and sheetrock it. We didn't get to paint it, but that's okay. At least the work got done. And then all of the drainage work and the outside of the building was done, and I've been keeping a very close eye out when it does rain to make sure that there's no water coming into the building. There is a tiny bit of water still coming into the building, and that's because of a gutter problem that we have on the roof. I was hoping that we could probably hold off at least a few more years to get the roof done and the gutters, but I'm afraid that holding off might bring some more damage to the building. I was hoping also to let you know about the fees that were voted on, the increases, and it was passed. So it's going to take a while, though, for those fees to build up in order to do these types of maintenance to the building. So The fees actually doubled. It went from $5,910, where the old admin fees, and the new one is $12,600 now. But again, it's going to take some years for that to build up so that we can be to maintain the building in a better way. So I was hoping if there was any more ARPA funds that we could access those funds, and if not, because I'm the first one to admit that you guys have been more, the board has been more than generous with us in the past in what they have done for us, just more than generous. And also I wanted to give you copies of the bids that I have. The door's also broken, but I think we can handle that part of it. We only, unfortunately, we only got one bid back. We contacted seven different roofing companies, and we only got one back. So I will give you a copy of that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Again, if we could not access those any more of those fees, I was hoping to maybe be able to get a loan from Amador County for $16,000. That would just make sure that we could get the roof completely fixed. I'm sure there's going to be some dry rot in one area of it up there. I'm hoping, I'm pretty sure, I've done pretty extensive budgeting, and I'm pretty sure that I can pay back the loan if we're required to take a loan in probably 4 to 5 years.
Board comments? Supervisor X?
Well, I am very supportive of trying to get the fire station rehabilitated so that the CSD can use that to conduct their meetings and their business. And, you know, I'd like to explore either if we can provide the funds from ARPA or a low interest or no interest loan. They did vote to raise their fees, so they do have money, more money coming in, and they just need something to bridge these times.
Well, I hate to be the stick in the mud, but one thing that comes to mind is there's a lot of similar entities around the county, and I guess one thing I haven't heard is how much, have you done any fundraising in your Pine Acres community to go towards fixing that, your meeting place?
No, we haven't. It mainly has been because of the condition of the building. We weren't able to. We couldn't even, actually, we should never have even walked into the building. There was so much mold. So right now that all of those, that mold has been taken care of, now there's a couple more things that do need to be done to, so we can use the building in such a way for fundraising or even letting the community use the building, which would be great. I mean, supposedly there's so many clubs and things around the county that need places to meet, and they don't have it, or it costs too much. Just like the community building in Pine Grove, that's a lot of money to rent that there. It wasn't even affordable for us to rent it to have our meetings there. So, we're hoping to get to that point, but until we have a building that is actually fully usable, that's really not too viable for right now.
Because that's, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of buildings probably that are being used right now. There's probably mold and a fair number of them around this county. You got old buildings, 100 years old. Maybe they got so much air, maybe they won't mold. It could be that they're not that airtight. But I see what other places do, and they do. And you're saying you don't have a place to do them. I hear that. But You can still rent a place and have a fundraiser, get yours fixed up. I see like the Drytown Schoolhouse. They came together to put a new roof on, and they raised a lot of money to put a new roof on their building. Fieldtown Community Center, they're always raising money to fix up their buildings. So that's why I have some heartburn with, you know, you got one hand, you got one community working really hard to get stuff done, or numerous ones, and one you're saying, help us, we don't mind helping you, but only so far. So I might consider a loan, but as far as outright giving the money anymore, I would not be in favor of that.
I think it comes down to we somehow have to protect our $25,000 investment we already put into it. If the roof leaks, it's going to have mold again after next winter. We're right back where we were. So it's one of those, once you take the cover off, you don't know what. So, and they did raise their, they can't wait 4 years to fix the roof. So it's either a loan or I'm in supportive of giving them the money, or $12,500, whatever the request was, to get it done before winter of this year. And hope we have one.
Are you talking a loan, Pat, or?
No, I would make it a gift.
$16,000 is the request.
Yeah.
I would go for a loan myself. I think we've already done our due diligence in trying to assist you. I'm with Supervisor Neto. You know, I've got a lot of road associations up farther up the hill, and so I just hate to, you know, see where it starts to come back on the county that we just can't afford part of this, and that's the unfortunate thing that I would be afraid of.
I will say I do respect that you did get an increase in your community, so road association, that shows you're trying.
I just wish
your
previous people had before you got into there, had done their due diligence.
absolutely. I wish we wouldn't be in this situation.
Right.
I think one of the problems that I've seen with some of the CSDs is, you know, they're run by the local citizenry, and when sometimes the people on the board, you know, they don't always, you know, find recruitments, and the board kind of falls in disrepair, so to speak. So Terry has really gotten a whole new board put in place, and, you know, this was one of Roseanne Chamberlain's missions in life, and you know, she's really kind of revived it and brought it back. So I would like to see it you know, succeed on getting the building, which is a resource in the area, rehabilitated. So I think that she might be willing to look at either a loan or a gift, but I can provide something from my discretionary funds as well. So I'm asking the board, you know, what your position is.
Well, if you're going to give some out of your discretionary funds, what's the amount of the loan needed then?
Well, she's asking for
16.
16, so yeah, I might be able to do a good two. I think that was the cost of the gutters was $1,500.
So why don't you just cover the cost of the gutters? So what, $1,500?
Well, I could do $2,000.
Okay, $2,000. So $14,000 would be the request then. That for a loan. Mm-hmm. Any further discussion on that?
And what would the interest rate be?
That's up to the board. And what's the term? Their interest?
What we do is, if the board wanted to do the loan, you'd direct staff to go put an agreement together, and we'd bring the agreement back. But give us a term and interest rate, and we'll put that together.
I guess a question for Terry, what do you think would be a reasonable term, realistic?
Realistically, I could probably pull it off in 4 years. I was saying 4 to 5 years just to be safe. But because of the increase in the admin fees, which has been quite a bit, we're going to be in a much better position over the next few years. The problem is, one of my biggest problems right now is I have only a little over $11,000 in that account.
as you know, because this board asked me and required me, and so does Tacy, to have an audit done, because remember, we were had not had one done in so many years. So I actually put an RFP in the newspaper for an auditor, which I got no responses. So I've requested Kathy Casillo put something together for us, and please just keep it under, you know, $10,000. That only leaves me with $1,800 for the year. And I've been paying ahead on the bills so that, you know, I'm covered. I'm making sure that we're not going to go upside down for now. But until, you know, we get those next couple of years under our belt, it's going to be super tight.
So, like, 5 years' work?
Yeah, that's what I would like, just to make sure. I'd like to pay it off as soon as I can. I mean, I don't like the idea of having the loan in the first place.
I'm okay 5 years. And I don't, as far as interest, I don't, do we just either charge lay for zero? Like, what do we do, like JVID?
Yeah, we've charged about 1.5, I think.
Okay.
LAIF has given us about 1.2, I think, if I'm remembering correctly.
So I'm okay with similar what JVID would be.
Okay, is that a motion then?
Yeah, I'll make that a motion. So looking at what, $14,000?
Yes.
For 5 years?
Yeah.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Do we want annual payments or just all at once at the end?
I would appreciate annual when...
Annual it is?
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Annual when your accounts come.
Correct.
What month would that be?
We have... and we. I believe it's November.
We can
when the
work
bills
that
are,
out.
The next
right.
bills are going to go out.
We could roll it out to November of 2023.
Staff just work with Terry on that?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Any public comment? Any other board comments? Then all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you,
so
board members.
Thank you very much.
All right, board members, we're going to continue and barrel through because we have a lot of people in uniform here that I'd like to not have sitting down here. So,
I'm sure they'd be happy with that.
Yeah. Discussion, possible action, or response to a request from the AFPD Personnel Committee for a one-time contribution by the Board of Supervisors to AFPD in the amount of $195,000 to cover additional training and salary costs over the next 2 years. Supervisor Crew, would you like to lead this?
Sure, be happy to. We met with the leadership team from the union, Supervisor Forrester and I, and we discussed in general funding for AFPD and retention and the costs of training and a wide-ranging, probably two-hour conversation. At the end, we said to them, you spent $105,000 last year on training, and normally it should be about 30, so retention is in the ranks, and it mostly it's said wage in the exit interviews. They left for better opportunities. So we asked, what's the number? Let's get down to it. That would create retention in the ranks and reduce the need to have multiple academies and improve morale. And they said it was $60,000 gross wages. So we looked at their wage sheets, and Supervisor Forrester and I saw that there's a group of 15 that were in the 47 to 52 range, then a group of 16 that were in the 57 to 65, and then on above, there's 39 altogether. So we broke them up by group, and always before, when they got a raise, it was 4% across the board or 3% across the board or what during their annual contract. Well, they have a raise is built into year one of these figures. In year two, there's a 4% across the board raise. So to try to get to 60,000, which was our target number, I worked with Nicole Cook and her
program that they have that you can just put numbers in and it clicks it out with including all of the benefits and mandatory overtime and all of that. And we came up with that we would have to raise the firefighters 6% in the first year and then 5% for the captain's engineers and 4% for the fire marshal battalion chiefs, and Chief White would get no increase since he subscribes to the leaders eat last in the first year, which would cost about $113,257. In the second year, and that would get the average up to about $57,000 for the firefighters. In the second year.
Are you talking like base pay or?
No, gross wages.
Okay.
In the second year of this contract, now remember that there already is a 4% by contract for everybody. It would cost $45,000 to get over the hump for the firefighters. And all that being said, we could accomplish that, but it comes down to how do we pay for it. In being a dependent district, AFPD is the main drivers are Measure M money and benefit assessment. The benefit assessment program has not really been changed in the last 20 years that anyone can get a figure on. I didn't ever get the actual, but like Ione is $71 and some are in the $82 range. And we're in the $47 range. So our idea was we're to use the ARPA funds for 2 years until the benefit assessment could go on the ballot in 24. And then they should be self-sufficient if they get it passed. Because that's the kicker. It's not something that the Board of Supervisors can do more than just strictly education. We cannot go out and rah-rah for it, so it's going to be up to the rank and file. But if they got the benefit assessment, if it doubled, it would raise another $670,000 a year, which would make the AFPD sufficient for 7 to 10 years in normal times and improve retention, cut the costs of retraining and training, and that broke down. Part of that was give them, they overspent $70,000 last year, and we split the difference, give them $35,000 of that back. So that's where we came up with $195,000. But it's a self-help deal. We're not adding them to the general fund. We're not taking you to raise. We're giving you, hoping to bridge the gap so that you can, because you can't raise the benefit assessment without taking it to the voters. And a special election costs money. But the good side of this is only the people who could vote for it are the ones who, the unincorporated area that have it, who need the service. If you want better fire protection and you want Fiddletown Station open and all of these other places, we've got to come up with the money. We've looked at a sales tax. That's countywide. The cities aren't too wild about that because they don't get that much out of a sales tax increase. So this benefit assessment to me is a direct, we're asking the voters who need the fire protection, are you willing to pay for it? In a nutshell, did I cover it?
Yes. The only thing I would add, and I think the last article in the newspaper talking about the money that came from the state for the Pine Grove Station said it best. AFPD provides emergency medical services and fire protection to Amador County residents, covering a total of 491 square miles. Approximately 75% of people live in areas considered very high risk to fire danger. Every one of us on this board has a lot of acres in our districts in the unincorporated area of the county that AFPD is responsible for. I lost during the last redistricting a lot of my district, the Willow Creek area and the Carbondale area, to Supervisor Onetto. That's a very high-risk area, and You know, we need a very viable fire force to be able to protect our citizenry out there. And this is going to go a long way at doing that, but stopping the attrition is the first thing we need to do. Any other board comments?
Sure.
I forgot to say, excuse me, sir, a third of the 39 force turnover in the last 2 years, which is a big number.
Yeah, no, it's, I understand there's been a lot of turnover, whether it's in AFPD, whether it's in our sheriff's office. There's a scramble on for emergency personnel. One question I'd have is, okay, say we went ahead and did this, and then the benefit assessment doesn't pass, what happens then?
Well, in my view, we asked the voters if they wanted better fire protection, and they said no.
Okay, but the question is then, I look at what firefighters are paid versus SO. Yeah, the firefighters probably have a better schedule, but they get a lot less pay. So question I'd have, we take this money and we raise firefighter salaries. And the voters say no on a benefit assessment. Okay, so now we got higher salaries. We don't have the funding. So are we going to be laying people off, or were we going to come up with more money to meet that shortfall?
Well, that's why we'd be back to square one. So we need to work our tail off to get this benefit assessment passed. There's not lots of rationale to get the voters to do it. For one thing, the city's benefit assessments are much higher. But the other thing is you're paying for helping to pay for an agency that's not a PERS agency, too, like some of the cities are.
You know, one thing I will say, I'd much rather see a sales tax measure put forth, because our salaries are a fair bit lower, whether it's our firefighters, our deputies, and also we've got a road problem out there. That's it's a major problem too. Well, and I think people are aware probably of most of the issues. I think you'd have a better chance of getting a sales tax increment. And hold on, Richard, give me a second, please. And also, if you do a sales tax increment, people passing through that use a lot of these services that don't live here, they'll be paying a big chunk of that bill too.
Well, we're talking about people being responsible for themselves. And by raising the benefit assessment, those in the unincorporated area would be paying. I feel like I'm getting something for that. So you're not asking sales tax increase. You'd have to take it to the general electorate and get, 66% or less than that? That would be 66 2/3, which is a very high hurdle to get. You know, the benefit assessment, at least I know when I'm voting for that and advocating for it, that I'm going to have those engines coming to my house if something happens. Other comments?
What's a percentage needed for a benefit assessment to pass? Do you know?
I don't know. I'm assuming it's probably the same. But
it will be the same, but if it was a citizen's initiative, you only need a simple majority.
So I haven't been involved in this issue or the question, so I'm not sure, but I can look at it if you want me to.
Yes, I think that'd be good.
Well, the biggest thing for me is that I need your union to fight for this. This is something that, you know, we definitely need in Amador County. This is something that you folks need. And this would be a great benefit for the county. So I hope that you guys help us out to help you.
Public comment. Chief, you were up first, or okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Board. Aaron Martinez, Amador County Professional Firefighters Local 5181 President, Fire Captain, Amador Fire, and Resident. First off, I would like to thank the Personnel Committee and Board for placing this line item on the agenda. excuse me. Amador Fire has been struggling to retain highly qualified and tenured staff. Since 2010 and the adoption of Measure M, Amateur Fire has lost a total of 43 operational and or line personnel. In 2021, Amateur Fire and its highest attrition rate with 11 employees leaving the district. Due to the total amount of open vacancies, the remaining personnel filled 930 days of overtime, with each shift being 24 hours. That equals to 22,320 hours of overtime within the district for 2021. Due to our ongoing attrition rate that we have endured and will continue to endure, will result in the loss of experienced and knowledgeable employees, which has a direct effect on the level of care and response to the residents we serve. The funding that is presented today would help lessen our attrition rate and help retain experienced personnel to provide the best service to the residents of Amador County, which they deserve. Local 5181 would like to thank you for your consideration and willingness to listen to our concerns. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone wants to speak after Chief White's up next, if you could just come up to the front row, that way we can keep it rolling if anyone wants to speak. Chief? Sorry for the loss of your family member.
Thank you. Walt White, Fire Chief, Amador Fire Protection District. I also would like to acknowledge and thank the Personnel Committee for putting this line item on the agenda. And I do understand the concerns or trepidation about long term, because there are no guarantees in life, only opportunities. However, I do feel that we can make a very strong case of actual public benefit with a benefit assessment. And my understanding now, and this is why we work with a consultant, is that threshold has been, it is at 50%. Regardless, it would take a majority of the members of the community that we serve to vote in favor of that. And that is our, we are optimistic and hopeful in that. You know, over the past almost 2 years now, we've been working directly with the Amador Fire Safe Council, the Sheriff's Department, and the community on establishing FireWise communities that have in many cases, help lower insurance rates. We feel a benefit assessment not only would improve retention, but possibly allow us to increase staffing in some underserved areas of the community, such as Fiddletown, which could further have a savings or benefit to the public by having a staff fire station within 5 miles of their home. So with that, you know, we are grateful for the item being on the agenda to help us hold on to people until we can reach a point where those funds may be available to this district. But I think that, you know, when I look in this room right now, I think we have a total of 17 members here. And, you know, I've been here less than 4 years, and I know that I have personally hired or pinned the badges of 10 of them on. So that's, you know, and we're continue to get great employees, but we have lost some top tier. And as was mentioned, when we do exit interviews, they like working here. Most of them still live here. They would prefer to continue working here, but, you know, there's just higher paying opportunities and a commutable distance from where they live, and it's what they feel is best for them and their family. So this money, and should it not be successful, then we'd be back at a meet and confer process with our labor group, who've been very understanding that we have to operate within our operating budget. So, you know, I can't guarantee any results, but I feel there is a sufficient amount of motivation here amongst the labor group, so no public funds would be used, but to do an effective community awareness campaign in hopes of passing a benefit assessment for the long-term sustainability of fire protection services in Amador County. So thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Chief.
Hi, Chief.
Thank you.
Any other comments?
Yeah, I have one for the chief. There's a lot of personnel here, which I can understand, but our station is fully staffed right now.
Our stations are fully staffed, and we have five additional personnel that are returning from a strike team assignment as we speak. You know, last month when we had the electrifier, we needed the support here in the county, and we got it from all those other agencies. And this month, for the last 2 weeks, we've been given it. And that's part of, you know, why we take pride in the Master Mutual Aid System. But, yes, we have 11 firefighters on duty. That includes Chief Watkins, who's in the back. Some of these companies, we have coverage, and they will be responding. Many of these personnel came in on
the payoff. I mean, the stations do have firefighters in them.
Yes.
Now?
Yeah. We have complete county coverage, and that is a challenge without any detail pool. So when you have somebody that calls in sick, we don't have an extra person to slide over there. We've got to call somebody back from home. But yes, we are completely staffed here in the county, and like I mentioned,
we've got stations.
Yeah,
all these personnel are here on their own time then.
Well, not all of them. I think some of them are responding from here,
right.
But we, under our county coverage plan, we have county coverage, right?
Let's say a significant amount are probably here on their own time. So, okay, thank you. Fire Marshal
Forrester, Supervisor Patrick Chu, the Fire Marshal for Amador Fire Protection District. It is 50% for a benefit assessment. What I did, knowing that we haven't had an increase in 20 years, what our benefit assessment cost right now, if we were at 3% on that cumulatively for 20 years, it will be a little bit more than what the other cities are. So that's what would be a good promising number, if you will. A tax would require a two-thirds vote approval. So that would be a little more challenging. So I've been here for 3 years. I've been very fortunate to do what I do for over 25 years. So as weird as it may sound, I don't really have a fight in this because I'm okay. So in my last two, which I don't like to talk about because I'm in on AFPD. This is a great place to work and live. I can count the numbers on one hand at my last employer where the firefighter decided to leave, not just because of retirement, just because they just want to go somewhere else. Probably in one hand. Matter of fact, just a couple of fingers. To be honest, everybody there usually retire from there.
Where was that at?
City of Roseville.
Okay.
Yeah, so but that's what I like to see here. Again, I don't have a fight in this. Getting to know the people here, they all love working here. And like Chief White says, a lot of them still live here. It's just the financial opportunities in the next county over is that much more better. So this is a great first step. Hopefully we don't have to come here and do this again in a few years, but I think the men and women in this department will take the charge on this, and at 50% at what we need to be comfortable, I think is doable, and I'm going to do what I can to help them out. There's rules and regulations on working with this. You can't be in uniform, so you can't advertise this at the station. So everything's going to be on their own time and in union gear, but no uniform. So there's strict rules that you got to comply with. And, we're all going to make sure everybody complies with those rules. So thank you for even considering this temporary increase. And I'm confident, just like Chief White is and the troops here, that we can make this thing happen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Jamie Labanco, District 5, Fiddletown. I live in the unincorporated area, so this is a subject that obviously is important to me and my neighbors. I had a quick question because I missed it. I was trying to take notes when Pat was giving his report. Currently, we're at $42 as our benefit assessment. Is that what you said?
45.
And you had mentioned that if we got a benefit assessment approved, it would increase us by $670,000. I didn't hear.
It doubled if it went to $90.
Okay.
Because that's what it brought in last year.
So if it was approved at $90 as opposed to the 45.
Correct.
So I was listening to this as well, and I was thinking about $60,000 a year as a wage. And the medium home, the average home price in Amador County last year, which was actually down a little bit, is like $384,000. So you have a $2,500 a month house payment. At $60,000 a year, you actually can't afford to buy a home in Amador County. So I just think that's an important thing to think about. I appreciate that Mr. Onetto acknowledged that we obviously have some trouble with the Sheriff's Department wages that everybody's trying to work through as well, and our roads, a benefit assessment that actually is voted on by the people who are directly impacted would likely have a better opportunity of passing. If we're required to get 66% of the vote, and that includes people in communities that will receive no actual benefit from that, it seems to me that would be a harder or larger lift to be successful in that. So I see the benefit assessment, if that's how you move forward, to be a better option for getting approval on something like that. If I were to talk to the people in my community, I can't imagine a single one of them would balk at going from $42 or $45 and paying another $45 to have better coverage in Fiddletown. I talk to a lot of people right now, and fire is of the primary concern to your community. Anyone above Plymouth, frankly, is consumed with concerns about fire protection. So I think it's really important. With regards to roads, if we're going to move forward with something like a sales tax for roads or things like that, it seems to me that you would have a better chance of getting those passed if they weren't bundled together. I think your voters are going to be more suspicious of a sales tax request that has got multiple things in it. I personally would be. How exactly is that divided? And then I had one more question about Measure M, and I know there was supposed to be a movement towards consolidation and the Amador Fire Protection JPA Authority. I think it's APA Authority. I'm sorry, you have so many acronyms for AFPD, and then the Amador Fire Protection is the authority that was created underneath that, and I'm curious if there's any work going towards the consolidation efforts. I haven't heard anything about it, but I was just curious about it. Thank you.
I don't think there's any efforts towards consolidation. When it happens, it will happen naturally.
Okay. Richard, I just asked because I know that was part of the Measure M funding, was that there was going to be some efforts towards that, and I wasn't sure if that was happening, and I was just unaware.
Yeah, there's actually no joint powers authority out there. Any of the fire agencies, the chief's agency, their advisory, and that comes to the board for any action.
JPA was not the right term. It's the A. What's
AFPA.
The
AFPA.
AFPA. Thank you. Okay. Right. Thank you.
Thank you.
I just have an academic question for County Council. But if there was a sales tax, not the benefit assessment, not that I'm promoting that, but it would only run in the county, and only unincorporated residents could vote for it, and only the tax would be implemented in county businesses?
It depends. It depends. I don't
you,
know
you
that
could run it that way, right?
You can, but I don't know that you can prevent them from voting on it. Like you can.
Oh, really?
You can say the tax will apply in certain places, but I don't think you can prevent everyone from voting on it. But that's just off the top of my head. We haven't had a tax measure.
Really? Because within a city jurisdiction, they can run their own sales tax, and we don't get to vote on it.
Yeah, I think on a benefit assessment like this, only the unincorporated vote on it.
Yeah, well, I would imagine. Well, no. Again, I'm not talking about the benefit assessment. I was just talking about the sales tax.
Everyone.
Yeah.
But it makes no sense. Why can the city of Sutter Creek run a sales tax for their jurisdiction only, and we can't vote on it?
Because we're a county.
Well, you're talking a general tax.
And one thing I think the previous speaker was mentioned, said would only pertain to county employees or AFPD. If you did a sales tax increment, it would be split up among like AFPD and city firefighters too. That's something that'd have to go forward. It wouldn't be just AFPD only. So it benefits cities in the county.
Okay. All right.
Cindy. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Cindy Granboyce. I am a county resident, unincorporated area, so I am very much affected by this issue. I have a question as far as where money is coming into. You have Measure M money, and you have 172 along with the property taxes that are being paid, which funds AFPD. Is that correct?
The 172 just goes to fund two positions in Pine Grove. The rest of the Measure M goes to fund a portion of AFPD.
What is the division of 172? What portion does AFPD get compared to the rest of the county?
It's about $500,000 goes to the fire fund, which is in our budget. It's budget 2440, and that goes to pay for countywide dispatch. And then what's left over beyond that goes to AFPD, which was originally there to cover two positions up at Pine Grove. A long history on that one. But
does the sheriffs get any of?
Of 172, yes.
What percentage does the sheriff's department get?
I don't know offhand, but it's
is it smaller or larger than
AFPD? Much larger.
Much significantly larger?
Significantly larger, yes.
This is why I am not in favor of a tax, sales tax type of thing. I've seen the disaster the division of Measure M dollars are. AFPD is not getting a significant portion of 172. I believe that they deserve their own source of income, which would come from a property assessment. After learning that other parts of the county have a significantly higher amount than I'm currently paying is not right. I don't want my taxes to go up. I don't want to pay more. But when you live in a smaller county and you want to keep it smaller and not build a lot of additional homes, you must pay more for the same amount of services, and that should be understood, and I'm willing to pay more. They are worth it. They're the ones that were plowing through snow, hiking through it, when they couldn't drive through up in Pioneer with the last winter fire that we had. They're the ones that respond every single call when we need them. I think it's time for us to be there for them. Please. Kick the money over and let's get this on the ballot.
All right. Thank you. Any other public comments? Any other board comments?
Yeah. If you don't mind, Pat, what were the increases again, roughly? It was like 4% you're looking at?
For the firefighters, it'd be 6 and 5 over 2 years. And then for the captain's engineers would be 5% just the first year. And the fire marshal, BCs, and admin grouped together would be 3. None the second
year. Excuse me. Because, I understand the concern because I talked to some of the firefighters who have left. We've lost some good people, and it's been mainly money has been the main reason. I mean, there are some people who are unhappy with some of the administration, but you have that any time in any organization. But yeah, there's a lot of competition out there. I'll say this: even those raises, you're still not going to compete with a lot of places. I mean, because I think what Ms. Granboy said hit the nail on the head. We're a small county, limited funds, and unless you want to have tons of homes and turn into, you know, Sacramento, El Dorado, you'd have to pay more or go there because they got the sales tax base, and you can't compete with that.
Right. I understand.
Well, we're just trying to do something to stop the attrition right now until we can go after the benefit assessment and get that passed, which I think is a high likelihood. Everyone recognizes the fire dangers out there right now. It's a bigger issue than it ever has been. And as far as the wages, we're trying to get them to a level that's respectable. They're not even competing with the wages of a deputy sheriff, which are much higher than that. So we're trying to give them a respectable wage, though, and then go after increase on the benefit assessment to really make a difference.
No, we let them pick the number,
Brian. I understand that because, you know, if you look at the firefighters, and they work a lot of overtime. I'd say more than the deputy sheriffs, but they're up in the, like their gross total pay is probably, looking at numbers, roughly 80,000 on average in total cost. A deputy sheriff's about 136,000, so it's a pretty big difference. But something else, I have some heartburn over doing this because I understand they need more money. I don't disagree with that. But it's like you look at a road crew, we've lost a lot of people there. They went out for higher salaries, same issue. So it's kind of it's a pretty widespread problem. If you look at what we pay at Amador County compared to metropolitan areas, we're way cheaper across the board. So that's one of my concerns.
Mr. Chair, I can make a motion.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I think before that, I think my former constituents in Willow Creek and Carbondale and Eagles Nest area all would appreciate this going forward. All right, go ahead.
Yes, sir. I'd like to make a motion then to fund the AF. Increase the AFPD contribution in the amount of $195,000 to cover additional training and salary costs over the next 2 years, with the understanding that there will be a ballot measure for raising the benefit assessment.
And these funds would come from the ARPA funds?
And these funds would come from the ARPA funds, yes.
Okay.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion?
Sure. I have one question. If the benefit assessment doesn't pass, and we've raised salaries, say, roughly across the board, a lot more firefighters than there's anybody else, but say 8 to 10%, and it doesn't pass, we're going to have less firefighters just because the salaries are higher. And we'll be if that happens, we're going to find the money to...
I think that's already been answered several times, but Chief White answered it the best. We'll be back to the bargaining table. So with that?
Okay.
Okay. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 All opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries 5-0. Thank you. Thank you all for being here. Before we take a break, Mr. Merzlach left a job. And Ms. Medford left a job to get here from Valley Springs, so I'd like to bring them up right now and cover that.
Yeah.
Cover that item. Adoption and presentation of a resolution honoring Merzlach signs on their 40th anniversary of business in Amador County.
Should we vote on this first?
I make a motion to approve the resolution.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded to approve the resolution. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. He always loves to hand out the plaque real quick. Got to vote on it.
Long ways to go for a short resolution. We appreciate it. Yeah, let's take a picture right now. So. All right, I appreciate you leaving a job and coming this way.
Thank you.
But resolution honoring Merzlach signs on their 40th anniversary of business in Amador County, whereas, and August of 1982, Ralph and Sharon Merzlach and their son Cam moved from Marin County to Amador County. And whereas Ralph built a sign business, and by 1987, the Merzlachs had a well-established sign company in Amador County. And whereas in 1990, the building where Merzlach Signs is currently located was for sale. The Merzlachs purchased the building. Ralph and Sharon continued to create artistic, hand-painted signs until Ralph became terminally ill and passed away in 2006. And whereas Ralph and Sharon's son Cam stepped aside from a far more lucrative sign business he built with auto dealerships around the United States to be with his mother, Sharon, to continue his father's legacy, Cam's community involvement landed him titles such as Amador County Citizen of the Year, Mayor's Recognition Award, Patron of the Arts, and more. Therefore, be it resolved that the Amador County Board of Supervisors of the County of Amador, State of California, does hereby honor Merzlach Signs celebrating 40 years of business in Amador County. Thank you.
Never turn down the microphone.
I just want to say thank you, guys. This is it's amazing. Thank you. Thank you so much.
I want to thank you for all the emergency signs you've done for the county over the years of just last minute giving you a phone call and it happening. That has just been awesome. Plus all the donations you've done across the county as far as your signs that you've helped fundraising events. It has just been unbelievable how much you participate in this county.
You're welcome, Mr. Brown.
Never thought we'd see you with a loss for words.
Yeah, no kidding.
I started to get choked up on the hearing of the resolution. It's just, it means a lot to me.
Yeah,
it's,
I understand.
It's a huge honor. Thank you.
Yeah. You're well deserved.
You know, do you ever get a call where somebody says, I'll pay you for doing the signs on a charity event?
And I don't care when you get it done.
Yeah. But I want to thank you and Kimmy for all you do. It's a hard job. I mean, everybody wants it done now, pretty much. And you've always been there. But your family, your dad was a great person, and appreciate everything that they've done, that you've done for our community. Thank you.
You're welcome, Mr. Forster.
Yep, and you make some wonderful signs. It's kind of like the little shop. It does it all. So pretty impressive.
Thank you, Mr. Renato.
I got a tune in with Pat, too. I've never seen you at a loss for words. All right. Thanks for making the trip over here from Valley Springs.
You're welcome.
Now you can go back to work.
Hey, Cam, before you go, I have a sign order coming. So, no, right. Seriously, I'll get to you.
We'll be there. Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. Anyone have any public comments on that? Nope. Okay, we're going to take about a 10-minute break, and then we'll resume at about 11:10.
Give the firefighters a chance to get out of here too. You hit the nail on the head. No. I think
didn't write it down.
Who made them?
Wasn't me.
All right, we'll get back to our remaining two long agenda items. So we'll call the Board of Supervisors meeting back to order, and we're to item 5F, the minutes review.
Make a motion to approve with minor changes.
Second. Yeah, I just...
Second.
Very minor changes. So moved by Supervisor Ornato, second by Supervisor Crew to approve the minutes. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries. We're to our last item, 5G, which is our second agenda item. Approval of the chairman's signature on a letter to Assemblyman Frank Bigelow for expressing appreciation for his efforts in securing an $8.1 million grant for the Amador Fire Protection District Fire Station in Pine Grove.
Yeah, and we should also include Assembly Member Ken Cooley as well.
Yeah, that was I recognized that too when I saw this. So we'll bring that back at the next meeting. Heather, note that same resolution to go to Assemblyman Ken Cooley.
Do we have to bring it back?
I think if we're just doing a letter, I think we could expand that to send it to our entire legislation. If you wanted to bring it back, we could. I think it's acceptable.
Both Assemblymen Bigelow and Cooley did come to Amador County, and Supervisor Brown and myself met with them along with Chief White to discuss this. So, we should make sure he gets thanked.
So
I think maybe what
are you saying?
I think Mr. Riley said might be not a bad thing to do. I mean, just send a letter to all the legislators. Expressing our thanks in a personal letter to, like, Assemblyman Cooley and Bigelow.
Okay. A letter to all legislators?
I know it's a bunch, maybe, but I mean it's...
That's really a bunch.
Can we send it to a representative at the House of Representatives in the state capitol?
Clerk of the Assembly.
You know, clerks thanking all.
Well, why don't we do it that way? Send a single letter... Supervisor X,
Edward,
to Assemblyman Bigelow, to Assemblyman Cooley individually. See if we can consolidate a letter to the entire legislature.
Yeah, that'd work.
I want to include a letter to the governor too for signing the budget, including this.
Okay.
Wouldn't be a bad thing.
Yeah, it's probably a good thing to say thank you.
It's a lot of money for a small county. Get something like this. So, was that a motion, Supervisor X?
Ornato.
Motion by Supervisor Ornato, second by
Supervisor
X. And Heather, you have down where the letters need to go to, if possible, to the entire legislature, consolidate it. With that, all in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion carries, and I think there was who had talked to Dana Jorgensen? Was it you,
yeah.
Pat?
Yeah.
That we definitely want to invite them up to any groundbreaking ceremonies that occur.
Yeah.
Assemblyman Bigelow would like to be present for sure, and I thought we, and Dana Jorgensen mentioned too, that we should make sure that Jim McCart.
That'd really be nice, because really Jim kind of,
so I just mentioned to the chair so we don't forget.
Yep, very good. Okay, that covers all of our agenda items today. The next meeting, closed session, will start at 8 a.m.
All right.
8 a.m.
September 13th.
What is this? You're going to wind it back 15 minutes every time?
That was
at
6:30 a.m. So with that, any further discussion? Items or comments, and we are adjourned.